A few weeks ago, actually it was my brother that asked me a question. And the question was this. He said, is there a place in the Bible that speaks about believers not associating with non-believers? Well, my answer to him was this. I said, in one way it is, yet in another way, no. That there is a balance. And what the Lord has inspired me with is probably going to be a series of messages, which we won't be able to cover all in one day. So what we give today will just be a beginning of that subject. And our title is going to be, We Are in This World. I'm going to start reading in John the 17th chapter. I will give you the verses as I read them. This is a special prayer that Jesus prayed for the church in this world. So I'm going to start with verse 9 of the 17th chapter. And Jesus said, I pray for them. And the latter part of it says, which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. Going over to John the 15th chapter and read 19 to go with that. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So if you study this particular chapter, you'll find that Jesus had a very special burden for the church in the world. He said in one place, he said, over in the latter part of that chapter 17, we might go over there and read that. Neither, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word. You know what he was doing? He was praying for us. He was praying for all who would accept his word and believe in him down through the ages of time. And he was holding it before the Father and claiming everyone to be his, that would turn their hearts and lives over to him. So this world, this is where you and I live. There's no other place for us to live. This is our point of location. This world. And we were born in this world, and not one of us asked to be born. We didn't know anything about this world before we were born, but we were born in this world. Remember, our title is, We Are in This World. So this is where you and I live. Jesus said that the Father sent him into this world. And we know the account of Jesus Christ, that he walked among this world for 33 years. His ministry was 3 years. And what he did for this world was to bring salvation, to offer salvation for every human being born in this world. I want to read a scripture now in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. And it says, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was his mission. He had a purpose, and it was formed before the foundation of the world. He was in heaven with his Father. He experienced the glories of heaven according to the Word of God. The Scripture tells us that the Father loved him before the foundation of the world. So we know that he made a great sacrifice to leave the glories of heaven and to come into this world. This world was full of sin and darkness and evil and wickedness, but he came to save those that were lost. Thank the Lord. He gave up what he could have had. And he came and he became a baby and he became flesh and he walked as a man. He experienced what you and I experience. And the scripture says he did it without sin. Thank the Lord. He's our example. He tasted of life. He tasted of all of the experiences of this world. He was tempted. He was tried. He was spit upon. He was ridiculed. He was rejected. He was a man that was a man of sorrow. He understands our sorrow this morning. He understands our humanity in this world. Thank the Lord. Now, one of the things that not just one, he had a doctrine that he gave that was speaking a lot about this world. He understood this world and what you and I would face and how we would be tempted, how we would be tried. But he gave many words, more words than we could give here today, about instructions for you and me in this world. So I'm going to give you just a few. First one is James 4:4. And it says, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's his doctrine. You and I cannot be a friend to God and a friend to the world all at the same time. Now let me remind you, there's another side of the coin. Don't think that this is the only side of the coin, because this is a subject that will require several messages for us to cover. The next one, which is very familiar, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, I don't believe that the God is wanting us to look here and say, I don't want to love the trees. I don't want to love the mountains. I don't want to love what God has created. That's not what he's talking about when he says the world. He has a purpose to warn us about loving the world. And it goes on and it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's part of his doctrine. You cannot love the world and love the Father all at the same time. So let's go to another one. Romans 12:2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's some changes that the people of God must understand and make. We must see sin as exceedingly sinful. We must see the dangers of the world and the influence of the world and how it will draw me away from the Father. It will deter me from the path to heaven, from the path of righteousness. If I follow the world, I cannot follow Christ. I must make my choice. Choose you this day, whom you will serve. So we make a choice. If we're going to serve our Father in heaven, or are we going to serve the God of this world? And there is a God of this world. Let's go to James 1:27. And it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father, and I'm going to skip down to the latter part of the verse now, is to keep himself unspotted from what? The world. Remember, we are in this world. So the people of God in this world is a peculiar people. And the scripture says that he has a peculiar people. So I want to talk just a little bit about this word, peculiar. It could almost be an unpleasant definition. But we want to focus on the positive definition. Because if we belong to God and we are his children, we're going to be peculiar from the world. So the definition, one definition that's probably most often thought of, is strange or odd or queer. When we think of somebody that's peculiar, oh, they're strange. They're not normal. See, the world thinks that they are normal, that the way that they live is normal. They've accepted the direction that they're going. But without vision, the scripture says, the people will perish. If you and I don't have a vision of what the world is, if we don't have a vision of what Christ is calling us to be in this world, we will perish. We will be the same as the world. We will be lost in the end. But there is a way. There is a highway that's above the world. There is a path that is above the world. Thank the Lord. So in the eyes of the world, the people of God, you and I, would be judged strange and odd. Because we don't, and the scripture says this, because we don't run with them. Because we don't do the things that the world does. We don't dress like the world. We don't go to the places of the world. We don't talk like the world. We may not even listen to the same music. We don't. We have different desires for music, songs. We feast on the songs that are anointed of His Spirit. They minister to us. And the world can't understand that kind of song. We have a love for each other that the world cannot understand. But it appears odd. It's strange. So I wrote down here, I said, in the eyes of God. How does God look upon His chosen people? Does He look on them and say, oh, they're odd. Oh, they're strange. No, He doesn't say that. He judges us completely otherwise. It delights Him to have a people that will follow Him, that will love His Word, that will feast on His Word, that will enjoy the fellowship of His people. He loves that. So He looks upon it, and here's the meaning of the peculiar. It was a Latin word, and it means belonging to someone alone. So that's how He looks at His people. This is my child. This is my people. They're special. They're remarkable. They're my private property. I remember Sister Catherine, when she would be in trouble and she would call on the name of the Lord, you know what she'd say? I heard her many times. Lord, your property is in trouble. Do you go before the Lord and claim that you are His property? You are. If you're following Him, you belong to Him. So let's turn now to Revelation, the 18th chapter. And it tells us how the Lord wants His people to be in this world. We're going to start reading at verse 2 and read through 4. And He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Skip down to verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. This is a message. Now we understand what the writer here is saying. He's referring to Babylon the Great. all of the religions of the world that are not following Christ, but have their own religion, have their own righteousness. They have their own ways. God is saying, I don't want you to be a part of that. I want you to come out. I want you to be separate. But it doesn't just stop there. It's the same with the world. He's saying, I want you to come out of the world. I don't want you to be a partaker of the world and the sins of the world. So God has a people that are called out of the world. I'm wondering how do you feel when you're in the world? When you're out there? Most of the time we are probably very unconscious of those that are maybe looking on and judging us. Occasionally we might find someone that will be touched by the spirit that you have in your life. It will some way speak. It will some way have an impact. And maybe they will come up to you and they'll say, what church do you go to? Those kind of questions don't happen very often, not nearly as often as they once did. People are not quite as interested in Christ and the church and religion and the gospel. They're not quite as interested as they once were. But you and I must always hold it dear to our hearts that we will not be a part of this world or be affected by this world or be drawn into this world. So I believe that though we may appear strange and different, that those that are following the Lord are going to live by it and walk by it and believe it and not be deterred. They're not going to be influenced by the world. They're going to be influenced by the Spirit of Christ, and they're going to believe and walk after the commandments. They're going to be interested in what does the Bible say? What does the Lord say? How does the Lord want me to live? How does the Lord want me to dress? Where does he put his approval in my life? So I believe that we're going to be searching for the right way. Let's turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter now, and believe the word of the Lord will tell us how to live in this world. The 7th chapter, we're going to start verses 13 and 14. Okay. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. Don't you know that the people of God in the whole earth is the fewest of all people? The scripture tells us many will seek to enter in, but few will find it. It's going to be how important it is to you to find the narrow way, to know what it is, to know what it means when it says straight is the gate. This word straight is a S-T-R-A-I-T. It's a little different meaning than S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. But it has some similarity. This word straight means a narrow channel. The scripture says that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? You're not going to slide into heaven. That's what that's meaning. It means that you're not going to just get there without an effort. You're going to have to put forth every effort. You're going to have to resist every temptation that comes your way to draw you away. You're going to have to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. It's a press. The scripture says that the violent will take it by force. You will have to be violent with your own soul, because the enemy is going, he has his sight set on you. He has his sight set on me. He has his sight set on the church of God. He wants to kill and steal and destroy. He's doing everything he can. He's doubling up his forces in these last days. I feel it. I feel the opposing powers of darkness nearly every day. Am I going to give in to the opposing powers? Or am I going to press toward the mark of the prize? You'll not win the prize if you don't press. You'll have to get violent with yourself. You'll have to deny your flesh. You'll have to say no to the devil. You'll have to resist him. Lord, help us. I've been praying. Lord, teach us how to resist the devil. Teach us how to be overcomers in this life, in this world. Thank the Lord. But this narrow way, this straight way, is the only way. Now the world thinks that there's many ways to make it to heaven. They put this out. Well, you can go your way, I'll go my way, we'll end up in the same place. That's what they believe. Listen, we must take God's way, or we won't make it. The scripture says that every man's ways are right in his own eyes. There are people that are going to be deceived. That's what the enemy, the god of this world, is trying to do. The scripture says he's trying to blind the minds of the people. He wants to deceive our minds. But let me tell you, God has a way in this world for his people. Thank the Lord. So I want to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and verse 21. And if you want to read it there, you can. I'm going to sort of paraphrase this a little bit. This scripture says that you and I cannot drink of the cup of devils and the cup of the Lord. We can't do it at the same time. You can't live a straddle the fence. You've got to make your choice. Choose life. It goes on and it says that you and I cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of devils. You know, nobody likes to talk about devils anymore. It scares them. They don't want to be associated with the devil. Even when the devil is their father, they don't want to be associated with him. They don't want to claim it. So for the sake of that thought, I'm going to change this scripture and not really do damage, because Satan is the god of this world. So here's how I'm going to read it now. You cannot drink of the Lord's cup and the cup of the world. It's the same principle, because the devil is the god of this world. He's a ruler of darkness. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love the one and hate the other and despise the one and cleave to the other. You can only serve one master. And the rest of that scripture said, I put this in here, no Christian can partake of the Lord's table and eat at the table of the world. You can't eat at the table of the world. Can't do it at the same time. Now I want to go to Galatians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read 16 through 21. And this is going to give us a little insight of what the world is. So starting with verse 16, he starts out here and he says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I could say the lust of the world. If you and I walk after the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the world. It will have no impact on us. We'll be able to resist it. We'll recognize the dangers. We'll even identify what the world is. So it goes on and it says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. If you want the world, you'll have to walk after it. If you want the Lord God and His salvation, you will have to walk after His Spirit. And then verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And now, next verse, 19. And now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. So we're going to say, this is the works that are in the world that influence the people of this world that the enemy would like to use to draw you back into the world. And so these works of the flesh is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Every one of those could almost take a whole lesson and learn something about them. It will pay us to understand these are the works of the world. And you and I are in the world, but we are not of the world. It goes on, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and then it just simply said, such like. Things that are even like that. A major attraction of the world is the entertainments of the world. The movie industry is a multi-billion, I was about to say million, but I believe it's billion-dollar industry. You can have it on your computer, on the internet, and we still cry out against the warnings of the internet. You know there are people that get offended when you cry out about the internet? You see, it's a very dangerous thing because you're in the privacy of your home. You've got it right on your phone. Amen. You can look up this and look up that, and it will take you down a slippery slope. Amen. We have it so accessible. It takes me recognizing and you recognizing this is of the world. And I cannot partake the world and partake of Christ at the same time. I must keep myself unspotted from the world. But the world, let's talk about the world just a little bit. Very, very few homes do not have television in their homes. I've had, when I've been at the store, and here's this man that's trying to get you to sign up for something on your TV or something. I don't know. And he starts out talking about it. And when I tell him, we don't have a television, I cannot describe the look on their faces. And we had this man that was a handyman that did some work for us, and he's in his 80s, older than we are. And he had worked at our house for quite a while. And he was talking something about what he saw on television, and he said, did you see such and such? And we said, we don't have a television. And he looked around. He could not believe we were in this modern day and we did not have a television. He says, I'm going to tell my friends. Every home has a television and can watch anything they want 24 hours a day. But I'm going to say, just drive by a movie theater and see how many cars are out there too. The world is drunk on entertainment. They cannot get enough of it. And it's taking them to a devil's hell because they're asleep spiritually. Those kind of things put people dead to the spiritual things of this world. Where the Spirit is trying to commune with them, their minds are filled with dialogue from some movie. Be thankful for your restful mind and your clear mind, that you're not vexed with the entertainment. Keep yourself from the world. When there's a temptation, run for your life. Run for your life. So the works of the flesh. Let's finish that scripture there because it gets close. It says, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't say it. The word says it. And you and I must keep ourselves in the love of God. Now let's go on. Coming down to the close of this. I want us to read a scripture over in Ezra, the 10th chapter and verse 11. And I am just trusting that the Lord is going to fill in all of the blanks. That you can read between the lines and get even more out of it than what I have said. Ezra chapter 10, verse 11. Now therefore, make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure. Just a little simple statement. Do the pleasure of the Lord. He's going to lead you right. He's going to teach you right. He'll make his path plain. But listen to the rest of this. Separate yourselves from the people of the land. Separate yourselves from the people of the land. Remember, there's another side of the coin. This is only one side. This is how God looks at his people. He wants them to be separate from the world. Now let's go to another scripture, Leviticus, the 20th chapter, verse 26. Now, I'm going to have to say that if you don't stay for the afternoon service, you're not going to know the other side of the coin. Having trouble finding Leviticus 20. Verse 26. Ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people. God wants us to be severed from the world. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, over to the New Testament. Those are Old Testament scriptures, but it was the same thing for the children of Israel. The children of Israel were a separate people. They were God's chosen people. And the same principle follows over into the New Testament. So let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, do you remember the question that my brother posed? He said, is there a place in the Bible that speaks about believers not associating with non-believers? That's what prompted the inspiration. Because this is one side of it. And the Lord God says here, for us to not be associated, be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Quite some questions there, isn't it? Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So I'm closing with a portion of the scripture from Hebrews 11. And you can study the whole chapter. It's a wonderful chapter because all of those individuals named, which they're called heroes of faith, but they were separate from the world. They did not serve idols. And I'm going to be taking what I'm saying from verses 9, 13, 14, and 16. And so I'm going to make it personal. I'm not going to read any of the historical names in this part. I'm going to make it like it's you and me. We are in a world that is a strange country. This world is really strange to us. We may look strange to them, but they are strange to us. We are looking for a city that is not of this world. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for it? Is this world your home? We have a song that says, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." The people of God, you and me, we believe and we rely on the promises. The historical names that were listed in chapter 11 believed the promises. They stood on them. They accepted them. The scripture says there they were persuaded of them. You and I have to be persuaded of the promises. And it says they embraced them. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in this world. It says that they declared plainly, "We seek for another country." I'm going to say we're seeking for another world. And it is a heavenly habitation, a city that God hath prepared for His peculiar people. So this is the first of our lessons on our association with the world. We are in this world, but we are not of it. And if you happen to be able to stay for the afternoon service, we'll begin the next part. I desire your prayers. I want to have a vision of this world. But I want to have a clear vision of the spiritual walk that I must walk to make it to heaven. Amen.